is Up Degenerates. Welcome to week six. I'm your host, the Dynasty Degenerate, Mr. Steve Sampson. Sorry we missed you last week. I was swamped at work. I pulled several 16-hour days, and my co-host was sick as a dog, so we just were not able to get an episode out, but we're back this week. I'm joined tonight, as usual, by my co-host, our international degenerate, Mr. Ben Steppen. Ben, how you doing?
Feeling a lot better. My voice is back. Me and the girls both came down with a little bit of a cold that kicked our butts, but everybody's back on track, back to school and back to daycare, so on to week six.
Awesome. So we're also joined tonight by our special guest, straight from the island paradise of Curaçao, our Caribbean degenerate, Mr. Luke Garrison. How are you doing tonight, Luke?
I'm doing quite all right. I'm very familiar with those long days. Just got back from about a 12-hour day myself, so ready to do this.
Perfect, yeah. The long hours, they tend to get to you.
Oh, yeah.
Luke, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I know you and I met in one of the leagues. I think it was one of Sergeant Rock's leagues, but I know that spiraled out to quite a few other leagues.
Yeah, I think
you. Tell us a little bit about you.
I think we have a 90% overlap, at least in my leagues, between us and...
That's about right, yeah.
guys, for sure. Yeah, my name is Luke. I moved here to the Caribbean about 10 years ago, originally Dutch. Spent some time in Colorado as well, so definitely a Broncos fan, which is very disappointing after the start of the season that we've had. Yeah, for the rest, not really that much going on right now. I mean, in the restaurant business, it's been pretty busy. Last couple of days have been slow. And I'm also very familiar with kids being sick. My daughter had a little cold over the last week, and she seems to be recovering now as well. So, no, all is good, man.
Awesome. Yeah. Kids tend to be sick. I'm glad mine are grown up.
Yeah, all the time.
I don't have to deal with that anymore. They are. Yeah, once they get to school, day. They're always sick.
Yep. And if they're not, they pretend to be.
That's the way it works out. Yeah. So they don't have to go to school.
Exactly.
So 2 weeks ago on the episode, we were talking about Javonte Williams and a trade for Moss, and I mistakenly claimed that Moss was a Broncos fan. I know he's a Panthers fan, so I apologize, Moss. I was actually thinking about Luke, who is the Broncos fan, when I said it. So sorry for that. I can't believe that the fellow Panthers fan didn't stick up for Moss. You guys got to stick together, Ben. There's not that many of you.
Less and less by the week.
That's true. It took me a while to figure out who was the other Panthers fan in the league. It took me a while.
Yeah, no, it's Moss. Believe me, as soon as he listened, he let me know that I made a mistake.
That's a fatal error.
Yeah.
After the Super Bowl.
Yes, it is.
I mean, in the current state of things, I might have just went with it at least for a few weeks.
Right. Although I don't know, you don't really want to be a Broncos fan this year either. So.
No, that is that's definitely true. It's been pretty painful.
Yes, it has. Don't worry. We'll probably talk a little bit about Russell Wilson when we get into the injuries. I forgot to put him on the list, but there definitely is something to talk about there. So we had a little bit of news this week. So let's jump right into that.
Breaking news.
So, big news this week for Panthers fans. Probably 3 weeks too late. I know Rockstar was calling for this at week two, but Matt Rhule has been fired as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. So, they've named Steve Wilks as the interim head coach. He was the, correct me if I'm wrong, but the defensive backs coach and passing game coach for the Panthers this year, and is now the head coach. So his history, just briefly, he's been in the NFL as a coach since 06. He's been with the Bears, Chargers, and Panthers as a defensive backs coach. And under Rivera, he got promoted to the defensive coordinator in the 15th season, I believe. And then, was it 15? No, 17, I'm sorry, 2017 season. He was promoted to defensive coordinator. He was a head coach for Arizona for a year when Bruce Arians retired. Not a very good showing for him there. So
yeah, I was just looking at the squad that he had back there, and I mean, they don't really make teams that bad. It's pretty crazy. Like, I have some terrible, terrible dynasty teams, but this would take the cake.
Yeah.
Like, if your quarterbacks are Mike Glennon and Josh Rosen, and then Chase Edmonds is basically, I mean, he had David Johnson, but he got injured that year, I believe. Pretty sure because I picked him. Pretty sure because I picked him 1-1. And then, I mean, you got old man Larry Fitzgerald and nobody else to throw to.
Yeah. But Larry can only catch it if it's actually thrown to him and not at his feet or to the defense or to the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was pretty sad.
So it might have been a blessing for him that he didn't stay there more than 1 year, but we'll have to see how it works out. Since then, he's been he took a year off. He's been with the Browns, and then now he's back with the Panthers. So, Ben, as the resident Carolina fan, what is your outlook for Steve Wilks as your interim head coach?
I don't know. A lot of fans from Reddit, from Twitter, from what I can see, everyone's pretty optimistic about Steve being there. He was part of the regime that went to the Super Bowl. He's definitely has a leader voice, which is good, and I think he's going to bring back some culture to the team that they've been missing. They've just seemed pretty stagnant, pretty dead the last couple years. It hasn't been very enjoyable to watch. So I at least am hoping that that comes back. As far as his outlook, I don't think he's going to hang around past this year unless something absolutely crazy happens. He'd probably have to win 5 or 6 games, which I don't think is going to happen. Likely he's just ushering in the 101. Hopefully for this team to actually get a quarterback. I just hope that we see a little bit more energy out of the team and a little bit more competitive games and get that offense going. But I think the schemes are going to, he said the schemes are going to stay the same, but they're going to get a little bit more creative. I'm not sure if he was just talking the defensive side of the ball, but
I believe he was talking the defensive side of the ball because he did fire two of the offensive coaches as soon as he took over.
Yeah, he got rid of Phil Snow right away because they did not get along, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And he didn't like the way that Snow ran his defense, very college-style speed, which doesn't always translate to the NFL. Yeah, so I'm just hoping that we see a little bit better effort out of the offense and maybe it sparks some guys. PJ Walker, I don't know what he's going to bring, but we'll see.
All right. We'll talk about PJ Walker a little bit, too. Luke, what are your thoughts on the Panthers with the coaching change?
I wonder what they're going to do with their talent. Actually, like, I've seen a lot of Twitter blow up on where DJ Moore is going to land, if they're going to send CMC somewhere, that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't think anything's going to happen anytime soon. It would be counterproductive. At least let's see what he got at this point. I don't think it gets much worse than Rhule at this point either, because apparently he did not have anyone in that locker room that believed in him. And I think more than anything, that's something that people want. You see it in Detroit, like they're really picking up on just the coaching style and everything like that. And apparently Rhule did not have any of that. So I think the only way from here is up. For the rest, we'll see, man. Like, we'll see what they can do with their quarterback. Maybe Walker can do something. I mean, Darnold's injured too, I believe, and then Baker's going to be a couple of weeks is what I read, so that is definitely not ideal to step into as an interim, but I mean, let's see what he can get out of the talent that they have, because they have quite a few decent players, both on offense and defense.
They do, and they have a good talent, you know what I mean? They have one of the best running backs, they have a top receiver. So they've got some good young talent on the defensive side. They've got some excellent talent at corner, some really good linebackers. So, and a couple of good guys up front. So he at least should have a pretty decent team to work with, other than the questions at quarterback. So in regards to PJ Walker, the couple of starts that he's had in Carolina, I think he's only had two full starts, one in 2020 and one in 2021. They were not great. The one in 2020 hit 34 passing attempts, 258 yards, which wasn't terrible, but two picks. He's not going to get you much for rushing yardage. I don't know that the offense improves at all with Baker out, which is crazy to say, but I think they're taking a step back with P.J. Walker.
I mean, just an experience, you would think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, just experience, just all around. I mean, Walker's a shorter guy. He's 5'11", 210. Not overly accurate. I mean, he's not terrible. He's not Jalen Hurts bad like last year, but he's not a hugely accurate quarterback. He's very inexperienced on an offense now that's going to be brand new for a new scheme for this week. So,
yeah, that was probably the one thing he had going for him. If he would have just still had Rhule in front of him, like, he has some experience in his
into the offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because Rhule came in 2020, and he, I believe, signed P.J. Walker there to the practice squad, Ben, and then he made the regular roster. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was dropped and promoted a couple of times, actually.
He's moved around a bit.
Yeah, for injuries and stuff. I know he was a big waiver wire ad, and if you're in super flex leagues, you may have to start him with the injuries and bye weeks and stuff this week. So I'm just going to warn you ahead of time, don't expect maybe 5 points. If you get more than that, I think it's a win. But they're playing the Rams, and I really don't see him being that successful against them.
Yeah, imagine staring into Aaron Donald's face in your first start in a year. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. having him come down on you, trying to complete passes to that secondary. So I'm hoping for a lot of Christian McCaffrey and hopefully some short passes to DJ Moore, but I'm not overly hopeful yet. I do think that the new regime is going to get more and more involved. So I think going forward, after they can get established, maybe by week 8, when they go up against Atlanta, that things will turn around. But this week against the Rams and next week against Tampa, I think are just kind of going to be losses.
I mean, it was borderline unwatchable for the last few weeks, so it's not going to get any worse.
No, I don't think it will.
Yeah. So that Rams game, you're going to want to take the under.
Yeah. Both
the Rams have somehow scored less points than the Panthers by about 13, I think.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So, yeah. So if you can, who got some money in an account, I'd definitely put some money on the under in that one.
Yep. Making sure I get my bookie on the over. All right. So we'll move on to Devontae Adams. Goes to Las Vegas, becomes a Raider, becomes a thug. Misdemeanor assault on... After the game on Monday night, he pushed the cameraman while he's running off the field. The guy fell down. Non-life-threatening injuries. I had to laugh when I saw that in the article.
I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the other angle, but on the one that went viral, yeah, obviously it looked bad. But the other angle, the guy literally just ran in front of him. Yeah, he could have bumped him instead of pushed him, but. I mean, if this is misdemeanor assault, what the fuck would Draymond Green get, man?
So it's been changed to city ordinance violation, and I didn't look up exactly what that entails, but basically at this point, we're mainly looking to see if the NFL is going to punish him. I've read that there's a possible punishment. I do know in his press conference after the game, he first thing he did was apologize to the guy. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot that comes from it. Hopefully they just fine him and let him play football. But I guess at most if they do suspend him, I can't see it being more than one game. What do you guys think, Ben?
I don't think you see anything, just a fine, and it won't be much. Like that angle where you can see the guy kind of come out at the last second in front of them kind of settles it for me. Like, I don't think they're going to do anything to him. They'll just give him a fine and say, watch where you're going.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. Luke?
Yeah, I mean, I think if he would have turned around and helped the guy up, we wouldn't even be talking about this. But yeah, I think maybe one game as a statement, but I think there's been plenty of statements made recently, and I don't think it's going to be necessary. I mean, I try to buy him in every league I'm in, and almost got him in one. But the guy backed out in the end. But yeah, no, I think he's going to get nothing. If anything, it's going to be a one game right after the bye, so you're down 2 weeks. And yeah, that would be about it. If it's anything more than that, I think the NFL should really look at their punishments.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I do also agree that 1 week would be a little much, but I could see them potentially doing it just to stop this kind of thing from continuing to happen on the field. But it was an unfortunate thing. Tensions were high, and he did apologize afterwards. So hopefully, and I think that's probably plays into it being changed from the misdemeanor assault to just a city ordinance violation. So, but that does actually bring up a good point, Luke, about trying to trade for Adams. So we're finally into the byes. We're at week 6, and you've got a couple of teams on bye. You got the Raiders. You've got the Lions. Now is a great time to go out and look at your league. And if you're trying to grab a piece here or there, find a team that doesn't have somebody to put into one of those spots that's got these guys on bye, because they're going to go after waiver wire targets. You might have a guy that you want to move that is better than anybody they're going to pick up on waivers, and you may be able to get somebody like Jacobs or an Adams or Swift, you know, somebody like that if you can work a trade. So now's the time to start looking at these things, paying attention to your bye weeks and planning ahead for, you know, what defense do I need to pick up because mine's going to be on bye, or
the answer to that is whoever's playing Chicago.
That is correct. or if like this still out there, just grab them.
Who's playing Miami this week? Is it Minnesota? I think so, right?
Yeah.
Third stringer. Let's go.
Yeah. So that, yeah, those are the things you want to really start looking for right now, because you want to plan 1 to 2 weeks ahead with all the buys.
Yeah,
but now's a prime time.
Week 6,
so you're 4-1, 5-0.
First week of bye weeks is usually my favorite time to start trading, because if you grab those guys on those first weeks, and yeah, I try to front load my buys. If I'm deciding between two players, that's the first thing I do. If they have early buys, that's what I want. I want to make that late season push, and then start buying people that have their buys, and maybe just punt on 1 week. If you can punt week 6 by having 4 people on bye, and you're going to be stronger afterwards.
Yeah, if you're 4-1 and you end up 4-2 because half your team's on bye, you should be set the rest of the season.
That's the idea, yeah.
Yeah, I like that strategy too.
I mean, it must be nice being 4-1. I mean, not this year, I can tell you that.
I've heard it's pretty cool. But I haven't really experienced much of that myself, so I definitely am not undefeated.
No, me either. 4-1, I think, in one league, one of Sergeant Rock's ones.
Yeah.
Dynasty, but the one I won last year, but for the rest, it's been horrendous this season.
Yeah, I'm. We were talking off the air. I think I'm in the 40% range of wins, counting the rebuilds that I'm in. So
yeah, my rebuilds are keeping me afloat this year, which is sad.
Which is crazy, yeah. So it's definitely not been my best year, but things are starting to look up, because players last week, you know, some of the stars that have been down finally made that push over the hump, and I think we'll get back on track now going forward. So
just hope it's not too late.
I don't think it is. Usually going into week 5, even at 0-5, if you win out, you can still make the playoffs with this extra week now. So, you know, even if you can probably lose one, maybe two more games. So I don't think you're completely out of it right now if you're 0-5, but you really have to make some moves and, you know, have a little bit of luck. But
yeah, I did exactly that today. I ended up selling Stafford and had to send AJ Dillon with him, but I got my boy Nick Chubb for him. And Njoku was a little extra in the package. So I'm pretty stoked for that.
Yeah, no, it was a great deal for
that's a good buy.
Redraft, yeah.
Yeah, I'm super happy with that. I mean, it's only my only Nick Chubb share outside of the Fishbowl, which I'm like, what, 50% in maybe?
Yeah. I think you're doing better than me in Fishbowl. I think out of the five or six people that we know, I'm at the bottom. So
yeah, and Tim's definitely up top. He was like something in 400s last time I checked.
Yeah.
But that was before this week. Yeah, I wasn't top 30. Yeah, I'm definitely not anymore. So I had a pretty bad week too.
I had a bad week five in the Fishbowl as well. So all right, so we'll move on to the injury report. There's a few things to talk about here.
The injury report.
So we'll start out with the easy ones. Let's start with concussions. I'm going to list off Tua still will not play week six. He's back at practice, limited. They've already said he won't play. Teddy Bridgewater concussion. If he clears, he's not starting. What is it?
Skylar Thompson,
that's what it is. Will be starting for Miami. So fire up Minnesota's defense. And Chris Olave is concussed. He may clear before Sunday. Naheem Hines also concussed. I haven't seen his progress, but I think he's potentially going to make it, but I don't think he's going
to
make it.
Yeah, he looked bad coming back up. He had to be helped.
Yeah, he was shaky on his feet. Not quite as bad as Tua, but somewhat similar. Yeah. So I don't expect that he'll be back this week. Jonathan Taylor, still with the ankle injury, did not practice Wednesday. He is a player worth monitoring before Sunday because he may still play this week.
Yeah, that's what they said.
If he can get a practice in, even limited Thursday or limited Friday, it's possible he'll play.
Most likely still on a snap count, though.
Yeah, I would think so. And that offense is in rough shape as well.
They are 2-2-1. They still have shot. I mean, that whole division is still wide open.
It is, yeah. No, they definitely have a shot. But like Philip Lindsay's hurt, Hines obviously is hurt. So I forget what the kid's name is. I picked him up.
Deion Jackson, yeah.
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 He looked
all right. On your waiver wire. He looked good on Thursday.
Yeah, for someone who's hardly getting snaps, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, I stopped watching. I didn't even watch overtime because it was just absolutely terrible. But
like every Denver fan, he left. They all left.
Yeah,
that was.
Look for him on waivers. It could be a nice grab, especially with the bye weeks. Hopefully, a better game than it was against Denver.
I mean, it's pretty much guaranteed to be.
Well, you would think so, but guess what? If you liked the game Thursday night last week, we got another one coming for you Monday night this week when the Broncos are on primetime again.
Yep.
Oh. So every week it feels like they're on primetime.
I don't know why. I mean, and they play the Chargers. So.
I mean, I do know why. they make the schedule before the season starts. They didn't expect this. Nobody did.
No. And like Monday night games, division rivals.
Outside of maybe people in Seattle, they might have seen this coming, apparently.
Pete Carroll's sitting back and laughing.
Yeah, I think they might have just switched bodies, man, him and Gino.
Yeah, it's possible. Damian Harris has a hamstring injury. He's questionable. I'm not sure if he plays this week or not. We'll have to see. If he can get into practice on Friday, I think he'll play.
I've seen he's probably out a couple of weeks, actually.
That's more what I'm thinking, because I know initially he was out. Like
I thought he was coming back. I thought it was fire up Ramondre time.
Man,
I think it is, at least for this week.
I actually beat Steve in one league because of Ramondre in this.
Yeah, because Harris got hurt.
Yeah, man.
The other one is Darren Waller, also hamstring injury. They're saying he's potentially – so they're on bye this week.
Yeah.
They're saying he potentially is going to miss week 7. So they're already saying he's probably going to be out for week 7. So I would be looking for a tight end to play next week while he's on bye if you don't have somebody already. And the last guy is Rashad Penny with a broken fibula, had surgery. He's going to be a free agent next year. What do you guys look at for Penny, if at all, for his dynasty value?
Most dynasty rosters I have spots open because there's not enough guys that I want to roster. So I'm not likely going to drop him. Like, I probably wouldn't drop him just to see what happens. But, like, if you have a big roster and you need room for somebody else and you're between him and, like, I don't know, one of the younger running backs, I'd probably stick with one of the run, like, even Trey Sermon, I'd probably keep over Rashad Penny. Like, he could be done.
I mean, outside of injuries, they've never really seemed to want to give him the job. Like, it's always been more of a, yeah, I mean, you know what? Everybody's injured. We might as well give him a shot. Like, you saw at the end of last season, like, even with Walker's, like, early season injury this year, it doesn't seem like they are completely committed to him. So, even in a dynasty, if I really need spots, I'd be comfortable dropping him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so as well. I don't foresee him going anywhere that he's going to be, you know, extremely relevant because he can't stay on the field. So he'll probably go to San Francisco and be one of their 15 running backs, or Miami when Mostert moves on. So
he's also injured, by the way. I was just looking at the sleeper feed, and apparently Mostert got a knee injury. Not practice.
Yeah, I don't believe that it's going to keep him out, though. I know he's questionable.
What are we thinking about T. Higgins with his ankle?
Yeah, so T. Higgins was one I wanted to talk about, and I forgot to put him on here. I don't think he plays this week. I think they need him to play, and there's the possibility that he does because of that, but I think they're better off if they don't have to play him and you fire up Boyd.
Yeah, they probably run him out there running some decoy routes. I don't know if they'll throw him the ball too much.
Yeah. You'll have to monitor him. I would say he needs to get in like two limited practices on the ankle, or at least a full practice on Friday before I trust him in my lineup.
Yeah. I mean,
might not have a choice though with the bye weeks.
You might not.
That's it. And then going back to the Saints, like, I mean, Olave, I would say he's out most likely. That hit looked bad when he hit the ground. Like, he was out on impact. The fact that still counted as a touchdown was insane. I mean, MT is still out with his foot. Like, he didn't practice. Landry didn't practice.
Yeah, so that's another wide receiver core where you have none of your top wide receivers. And there's no guarantee you that you're going to have Winston. I believe they've already kind of alluded to the fact that he'll be out this week as well.
Looking at him, I think Dalton might just keep the whole spot, dude. He's playing decent enough.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's playing decent with nobody.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, last week he just had Olave and he looked good. So I don't know that I'm really rushing out to grab a Saints wide receiver, but you might not have a choice.
I mean, if Taysom Hill's on your waivers, definitely go grab him.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't be. He was, I think, the number one waiver ad this week.
I would assume so.
Your choices for wide receiver are Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, and Deontay Hardy.
And even Hardy is injured.
So I honestly am probably going to try and fade that. I'm hoping they feed Kamara and Ingram. You know, even use Kamara in the slot or something and run both running backs out there. Because Cincinnati can be vulnerable a little bit to them. And Dalton is kind of a revenge game for him. So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But Landry might suit up. I just don't expect it.
Is there any other news on Rashad Bateman now we're talking about receivers? Because he didn't practice today.
No, he's so his was an ankle too, right?
I think so. Yeah, it says foot, but I mean, it's close enough.
Yeah, foot. So If he practices at all this week, I think he's in. But it's a matter of if he practices at all this week. So we're at Wednesday now while we're recording. So if he doesn't get in a practice, at least on Friday, I don't think we see him.
Yeah.
And at that point, is Duvernay still hurt or he's out there? Yeah, so Duvernay's out there, so you'll fire him up.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Robinson, you'll want to fire him up. They're going against the Giants.
It's going to be a lot of Mark Andrews again.
It will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will. A lot of Dobbins.
Let's hope so.
So.
I mean, I was just going to say, it looks like Pitts and London are both playing. That's big.
Yeah, that it looks like both of those guys will be back. Not that you're going to start Pitts, but it's good news for London and the Atlanta Falcons, I guess. They're playing San Fran, so I really don't expect a whole lot out of that game for those guys. San Fran's defense is pretty good. Although they did just lose. Who did they lose? They lost a corner.
I mean, they're half their squad's on IR, or at least out.
Yeah, but that's normal for San Francisco, and they still make the Super Bowl. So.
True.
But they did just lose one of their corners. I forget who it was. So the other one to talk about is Russell Wilson. I guess supposedly has a shoulder injury. And
if I threw that bad, I'd
say I was going to say the same thing. I mean, it's always convenient to drop something like that right after the game, after 5 weeks of bad play. I mean, apparently he flew all the way to LA to get it fixed or to get a shot or something. I don't think he missed any practices.
No.
I wouldn't see there's any long-term anything. I haven't heard anything about the injury after Thursday. So, kind of seems like a little distract move, but I'm not sure.
I think so as well. All that you've heard is he went and had the shot and that he's looking to play on Monday night.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's suspect to me.
He has something to prove. He doesn't want to sit anyway.
No. Well, you got the Chargers on Monday night, then you get the Jets, and then Jacksonville, and then he goes into the bye. So if he can't turn it around, this week or the next 2 weeks, in a lot of places I think he's already droppable, but at that point he's completely droppable. Oh, yeah.
I mean, funny enough, I'm starting Geno over him in multiple leagues, including Scotty Fishbowl. Which is just poetic justice, I would say, for anyone who lives in the Seattle area.
I had multiple leagues I've seen Geno drop added for him.
But, I don't know, man. Denver, like, they have 3 weeks. Like, on paper, all three games are winnable. Chargers have a lot of injuries of their own. Eckler finally seemed like he's getting back into mid-season form. Herbert's looking healthier. They really need to step it up. I got to say, Gordon looked decent outside of all his fumbling. Mike Boone didn't look too bad, even though you just lack the explosion that the other guys have. I mean, they're still solid on receiver. We've not really seen much from the tight ends, which has kind of been sad for me.
Yeah, Allo's been a complete disappointment.
Yeah, man. I mean, I faded him in drafts. I didn't really see. I mean, I saw him as, at best, a fourth option in that offense for touches, but, I mean, it's clear that he's not even top 7 or 8.
No, not at all. And I mean, you just got Latavius Murray, who
I'm not expecting much from him, to be honest.
I don't expect a ton, but I mean, I think he's better than Mike Boone.
Honestly, I think they might keep feeding Boone for the first and second down work, and then I think Murray is going to come in for some receiving work. I mean, I think the only reason he got signed is because he's familiar with the coaching staff.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And he's plug and play, and they saw him play in London. They already know he's in football shape, so it just makes – and he was cheap because they got him, trying to go back to a practice squad. So, yeah, I don't expect a ton of fantasy points out of him, but I do actually think he beats out Mike Boone. Like you said, he's not very explosive, I just don't really think he's that good. So.
I mean, this might be a sneaky week for Melvin Gordon. I mean, it's still Chargers' revenge game, or at least that's an angle you can play. Mm-hmm. I think they might give him some extra touches just because of it, to see what he can do. If he fumbles another ball, I'm done with him, though. Like, it's been...
Yeah.
He's literally given away... I mean, he's given away a couple of games. It's been crazy.
He has, but for fantasy, he is the lead back,
He's pretty much a 10-point lock, at least.
Yeah. So, All right, so we'll move on from the injuries, and it wasn't a ton this week, which is great, but we're really seeing a ton of concussions this year, which is concerning. It may be the same amount as we usually see, but it just seems to me like there's been a lot more every week.
Maybe it's and been I more high profile more, players, so you never know.
Yeah, well, more severe maybe because, yeah. You know, the guy's getting up and trying to walk off and collapsing again and stuff like that. So we do have a mailbag question from one of our listeners. So we'll jump into that.
The mailbag.
So friend of the show, Sergeant Rock Monty, asks us, how is the shift to more defenses using two high safeties and bracket coverage affecting guys like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson for fantasy? So when he asked me this, I kind of asked him, you know, what do you mean? What are you looking for as far as an answer? So it's kind of a two-part thing. He's looking kind of to understand more what bracket coverage and two-man deep coverages are, and then what our take is as far as, you know, what these defenses are having as far as an effect on guys like Chase, guys like Jay Jeff, and such. So I'll run through a brief overview of what each of these are. Bear with me. I'm trying to simplify it down so that we don't have diagrams and everything else to go over because they're very complex. I don't understand them completely. A lot of quarterbacks in the NFL don't understand them completely. That's why they throw interceptions all the time. So what is bracket coverage? There's two types of bracket coverage. Typically, there's a lot of variations, but they usually fall under one of two categories. There's vertical and horizontal. Vertical bracket is, or over and under, is when the corner lines up on the outside of the wide receiver. They're typically playing man coverage, and they'll force the receiver to their inside, and they'll stay with them on the route. And then the safety on that side of the field will pick that receiver up on a deep route, and they will shadow them over the top. It's somewhat similar to a cover two zone defense, except in a cover two zone, the corner would release that receiver and go back to his normal spot. In this case, he actually stays with them. So this is a lot of what you've been seeing on Jamar Chase so far this season, and why his numbers are down quite a bit. You see it a lot on, or at least similar coverage on your top wide receivers on most teams. The other one is the horizontal, or the in and out, and that's when the corner works the wide receiver from the inside out to another defender. So they'll also release them to the inside, and they'll kind of hand them off to another defender. If the guy goes deep, again, that'll end up being the vertical. But if they run across the field like a tight end or a slot receiver, they'll hand them off to a linebacker or the nickel corner, and that guy will pick them up. Bracket coverages are good against the RPOs, which are becoming a lot more popular now in the NFL. Because it allows the defense to do a lot of different things out of that formation. There's a lot of variables, a lot of audibles they can call. So it frees them up to take your number one wide receiver out and still cover guys coming across the field and hand off assignments and stuff like that, and still be able to spy on the quarterback if it's a guy like Lamar, or still be effective in the run game and still be able to cover, you know, the wide receivers down the field. So for this to be successful, and I think the reason that we've seen Chase not be successful this year and Jefferson be successful is directly related to this, is it relies on your defense having top quality safeties that can assist over the top and make good reads as far as the RPO. And then you need to have good man coverage corners. So if you look at the teams that Chase has played so far, they have these guys. In Dallas, which has a great secondary, the Jets oddly have a good secondary. Miami's got a pretty good secondary, and Baltimore had a good secondary until this last weekend because I think they lost Williams, if I remember right. Whereas Jefferson has not played teams that have good secondaries at all.
No, not just that. I mean, Jefferson had a great week one, a great week four and five. Like, he had 10 catches in each of the last 2 weeks. Week two, yeah. I mean, was a classic Kirk primetime game. Cousins just imploded completely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and week two, I really don't count against him because
I'm just looking at the stats. He had 12 targets and only 6 receptions for 48 yards. And in week three against Detroit, like, they went with the other options. They went with Thielen. They threw a bunch to Irv Smith. Like, maybe he got shut down. I don't know who was on him, but Detroit had some weirdly decent games, even on defense. Even though they allow a lot of yardage, like, or a lot of touchdowns. I mean, it's not been that bad, except for last week.
No, they've been a team that's been better than expected.
For sure.
And they are a team that has a good secondary. There's other parts that need work, but they do have a good secondary.
And I do think that with Chase as well, like, you see that offensive line play, even though it wasn't great last year, has not really improved much, even though they try to patch it up. Burrow wasn't good in the first few games either. Through a lot of unnecessary picks. Ground game hasn't been able to start going except, like, until last week. So to be that kind of guy that gets that deep ball and everything like that, it is pretty tough to be that guy if your quarterback doesn't get the time to throw.
Yep, it definitely is. But good news for Chase is he plays New Orleans this week, and Jefferson just lit them up for 30 points 2 weeks ago. So I think it turns around for him starting this week. You got New Orleans, you got Atlanta, and then you go up against Cleveland, which should be probably a little bit better than what he's been getting, but it won't be. I don't expect a 30-point game, probably closer to 20. And then you got Carolina, which should be a good game, and then they go on bye. And then you jump into some better games, so I do think it turns around for Chase coming on the next few games. And the offense is finally starting to click, too. So I do think that that's going to help. But he, you know, sophomore player, and sometimes these guys, they slump because defenses figure out how to cover him, how to take him out of the game. So what do you guys think about Chase going forward, Jefferson going forward, and just how NFL teams are kind of moving into these, you know, cover twos, cover fours, and the bracket coverage, and how some of the guys are not successful, and then you got guys like Kupp or Tyreek Hill or even Diggs that'll disappear for one game, but then they're, you know, then they come right back.
I mean, I think in general it's been kind of a down year for big plays, not necessarily just receivers, but you've seen, outside of last week, which was pretty decent, it's just been a down year for big plays and offensive brilliance, I would say. So I wouldn't expect that much. I would say that, especially for Dynasty, I think we started fading Cooper Kupp a little too fast. Jefferson definitely top three. I would say Chase as well. But Cooper Kupp is still receiver one. He's shown it again. That offense is absolutely flaming garbage, except for him. So,
yeah, and teams can't seem to shut him down.
That's crazy.
You know, regardless of what type of coverage they try to use. So he's one of those guys that I kind of put him in the same category as Tyreek Hill was last year, where most teams just can't seem to cover him no matter what they do. Mm-hmm. Ben?
No, I agree. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's the one. So many targets. I think he still has as many or more receptions as Justin Fields has completions, which is crazy. Like, it's, we're going into week six, and that's still a thing. I don't know. It's a it's tough because the NFL is fluid. Like, it changes. It goes throughout the season. Nothing ever stays the same. So these defenses are doing something right now, but those offensive coordinators are going to scheme things to get their stars the ball. If they aren't doing that with great quarterbacks like Joe Burrow at the helm, they're failing. And I don't think they do fail. Like, that team went to the Super Bowl for a reason. I think they turn it around. I think Justin Jefferson, he'll be fine. Buy low if you can for fantasy. If guys are selling off because they're scared of what's happened so far, take advantage of that. I think you'll see some offensive explosion in the second half of the season as offense figure out how to beat this coverage.
Yeah, I think that's a true statement. So I do know that there's more teams moving to this over the last couple of years, and I would imagine that trend continues because the NFL is certainly a copycat league, mm-hmm. and this is starting to work. Do you think that teams moving to this is making it harder for many of the teams to keep a feature back because teams are able to stack the box more with these defenses or respond more to the run? Or do you think it's just a lack of talent that's out there for, three down backs? Ben?
No, I don't think there's a lack of talent. I think running backs are better than they probably have ever been. Guys are faster. Guys' skill sets have evolved to doing everything. There's way more of them now that can do it all. It's just a matter of whether the teams are going to use them that way. I think the counter to this is a really good run game. Because if you can run the ball, you can open it up a bit. So you might actually see a return of more traditional style running backs. Like I said, the league changes constantly. It looked like running backs were heading out to committee. And I think we actually might see more teams head the Derrick Henry direction where you got one guy, you pound the rock as much as you can, throw the ball. Scoring might be down for a little bit, but it'll open the offenses back up a bit as we go. Those are the ebbs and flows that you're going to see over the next couple years probably. Will be teams trying to figure out this coverage and evolving past it.
I mean, I think there's as much value in having a great backup running back, like a Jaylen Warren in Pittsburgh, like maybe a Rashad White in Tampa Bay. But I think you do see that if they have the guy, they keep using him. You see it in Fournette. You've seen it at Eckler the last couple of weeks. You see it in Derrick Henry. You see it in the resurgence of Saquon Barkley. The teams that have that guy they tend to be more successful. Like, the hot hand approach kind of only works if you're Kyle Shanahan, I would assume. Other teams have tried.
Or
Bill Belichick. Yeah, I guess. But I mean, that's always been their identity. And they always have guys that can do it all, but they just have multiple guys that can do it all. Like Damian Harris, great power runner. Decent hands. Stevenson, same story. They had the James White guy just for the receiving work, and they've always had that type of guy, but they've always had multiple guys that can actually run it in. And they've always had that great red zone, LeGarrette Blount kind of type of guy that can just score 18 touchdowns in a season on maybe 250 yards. Crazy. Another example would be Green Bay, but that's more for lack of other playmakers that they use both guys, even though I think Dylan's usage has been kind of underwhelming over the last couple of weeks. But I think the teams that are the most successful on the ground are the ones that focus on that one guy and maybe have a replacement on the ready that might not be as good, but that can do the same work. And if you're on the field all the time, I mean, you'll get tired, obviously, but you also have a feel for the rhythm of the game a little bit more than going in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. I think the only team that really is successful that has two top backs is Cleveland with Chubb and Hunt, because they basically can interchange those guys and still be successful. But, we kind of thought it might be that way in Dallas. It has not been. Nope. I don't know if that's because Dak's out or because McCarthy's a fucking tool. it hasn't worked in Green Bay, like you say. I think more due to the lack of experienced weapons in the passing game. But I do see a lot of teams that are now going to that scheme more than I think what we've seen in the past. So I can see why people would be concerned, but I would agree with you. I think if you have that top back or you have that talent in a guy that can carry you through three downs, you continue to use them and you keep a change of pace guy that's very similar in skill set, like an Alexander Mattison behind Cook, mm-hmm. you know, to spell that guy off so you don't have to change your offense around, but and can fill in case of an injury. But you ride that workhorse guy because, you know, they do get the feel for the game and they do break off those big runs in the third and fourth quarters because they've got that timing and everything down. They know how the defense is reacting. They know, you know, as the pace of the game goes, you know, how much slower the big guys are up front, and they can adjust for that as the game goes on. So I do definitely think that has something to do with it. So Monty, I hope that answers your question, and please don't ask me anything hard for the rest of the season. But I actually have a hard question for you guys. So with Javonte Williams getting hurt last week, and because we didn't, 2 weeks ago, because we didn't have an episode last week, I couldn't ask it then. What do you do with Javonte Williams in Dynasty at this point? I'm on the fence to the point where last week I started trading him everywhere I have him. And the reason I did that is because he's going to be out all the rest of this year, potentially early into next season. I think there's a chance he's back in training camp, but I do believe that he's never going to be the feature back in Denver. I think they made that evident this year when they brought back Melvin Gordon. They continue to keep another guy there with him and split touches. Even at 60-40, I don't know that he's worth what his price is right now in Dynasty. So I'm of the mindset to move him for maximum value at this point and let somebody else hope that he will meet that expectation. I did trade him to Ben in one of the leagues that we're in last week. So, but I believe it was a fair trade for both of us. So, because I know you're rebuilding and it gives you a running back that you don't have to worry about next year and you can use the pick on another player. But overall, what do you guys think of Williams and what are you doing with him in Dynasty? We'll start with Luke as the resident Broncos fan.
I think it's tough. I think he was kind of already not as high for me as he was for a bunch of other people. Especially when they brought Gordon back, I'm really happy I didn't buy into him right away. I definitely did not buy into him in redraft, which looking back was a really good decision. I don't know, man. It's tough. Like, selling him, if you can get close to max value for him, do it right away. But I think nobody's going to give you that at this point, and you might undersell. The risk to not selling, I mean, the flip side to that is if you don't sell him now and he's not going to recover, or they're going to bring in that second back and he's never going to get that value, you're going to kick yourself for not selling him on time. Like, in that regard, be Bill Belichick and sell a year early, I would say. And that's probably the way I would go. If you can get anywhere close to 80 or 90% of what you would sell him for normally, do it. Otherwise, I'd probably hold on to him. I was just looking what the last day to pick up players is in my keeper league, because I'm definitely going to pick him up in my keeper league and see and sit him on my bench if I'm not in the playoffs. But in Dynasty, I'd probably try to sell if people are buying. If not, I'm just putting him on IR and I'll see next year. If he does come back in the preseason and takes a couple of snaps and looks decent, he'll regain some of that value too. So definitely don't panic sell. Never panic sell, even though I do it all the time. But I remember panic selling on Davante Adams once 4 or 5 years ago, and it cost me the championship. It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
It's a trade to Hayes, and that's – it's always going to haunt me. But yeah,
we've all been there before, you know.
Yeah, for sure, definitely with Hayes, he's a very good tradesman. But yeah, what I was saying, don't undersell, but also don't hold just to hold. If you can get value, get value. If you can get a young guy, I could see people moving him for a guy like Breece Hall if you add a little bit to it, or maybe even get a running back that's a couple years older. I could see Aaron Jones still keeping some value. That would be a guy I would look at. If you're contending and he's the one guy that you would, like, that's the one position you would need, you could get him for an older guy, get a Derrick Henry, get a Austin Eckler, one of those type of guys from a team that's not competing and wants to rebuild for 2023. That's something I would look at too.
Yep, fair. Ben?
Again, it's all situational in Dynasty. In redraft, obviously, he's dropped. You're dropping him. You're getting rid of him. But in Dynasty, if you're a competing team and he's sitting there on your roster, you need to move him probably to get some assets for this year to help you win. Sitting on him because, oh, this is a guy I can have for a long time, when you're a contender, is a mistake. If you're bottom of the barrel or you looking like you're heading the other way, you might have got some wins. Like, my team has some wins. I'm 2-3, but I'm blowing it up because I'm not deep anywhere other than at running back. So I was able to sell a running back for a future running back and some pick help, and it's definitely something that's going to help me out later because I have next to no wide receivers in that league. So for me, it made sense to take a shot there and get the pick as well. I've had other places where I don't think I've looked to buy him anywhere. It's a tough buy, I think, in most cases, but there are the situations like mine where it made sense. Coming off the injury, injuries that similar running backs have had, I'm hoping that we see a similar turnaround time and he can get back maybe a week or two into the season at worst. If that pays off, that was a home run for me. So if you're competing, sell him. If you're out, try to see if you can sneak him for cheap, but definitely don't overpay if you don't have to.
Yeah, I would agree. You definitely don't want to overpay. So fair points. I'm more on the sell him regardless train, but I completely agree with your take on it too, where, you know, you may want to hold him if you're rebuilding, because it's one less thing you do have to worry about because you already have the guy. And he's still going to produce for a couple more years.
So. And I mean, it might not even be next year, but the year after. Like, you saw the exact same thing happen with Barkley, right? He got hurt.
Yeah.
And then last year he got hurt at different spots because of probably some conditioning issues, because he didn't run and he wasn't able to be in that top shape. And then you get that hamstring and you get the other injuries. And then this year he's better than ever, almost. And you see that a lot with guys that just have that extra down year. Sutton last year, like, there's plenty of guys that come back and they just take a year longer. So if you have the patience, if you're in a long rebuild, I would definitely see if I can get them. Throw out that 24 first, maybe someone will buy it, you know?
Yep, very possible. So we're going to do one more thing, one more segment here before we call it a night. Week 5's over. We're into week 6. You know, you're 1-4. You're 0-5. Competing teams are starting to send you offers for some of your players in redraft. And let's face it, a lot of those offers are fucking shit. So, what's a bad trade offer you guys have gotten in the last week or so that really stands out for you? And don't name teams or leagues, but just go over the players and we'll see what we each think of that trade. Luke, I know you have a dandy.
I mean, I have a couple of beauties. There's some dynasty rebuilds that I'm just getting absolute dog shit trades. And actually, I'm just looking into what it was. I So I picked up Kenneth Walker off of waivers, mainly because of me asking one of Sergeant Rock's leagues how much fab I should throw out for him, because I was thinking between 60 and 70 out of my remaining 74. It was a overwhelming, everybody said all of it without a doubt, and turns out that that was the only reason that I actually got him, which was pretty great. So someone threw out a trade offer of, let me see if I can find it back. It was in one of my longest running home leagues, one that I've actually I'm the commissioner in myself. It's a league I won last year, and I'm starting 1-4, so that's kind of painful. He sent an offer of Jerry Jeudy, Christian Kirk, and Antonio Gibson for Kenneth Walker, and if I'm not mistaken, Elijah Moore or Cortland Sutton, either one of those. But, I mean, I have absolute zero faith in Antonio Gibson now that Brian Robinson's back. Rivera also pretty much already said, after he threw Carson Wentz under the bus, by the way, what a terrible interview that was. He basically said that Gibson might be relegated to return duty again, which is kind of sad. Kirk started off hot, but has kind of cooled down over the last 2 weeks. Caught, what, one reception for 11 yards last week? And then Jeudy, I mean, as the Denver fan, I know that he's not really done much. Those two games where he caught a touchdown, he was decent, but that's pretty much it. So that was a very quick no for me. And then if you look at my other leagues, it's actually not been that bad. I've gotten a couple of mediocre offers. I've had a lot where I was going back and forth with a guy who always starts with a couple of cool trade offers, and then he pulls them right when I get to a point where I want to accept. Sometimes he gets a little bit more out of me than I want, and most of the times we just don't get to anything. Yeah, and then in Dynasty, I mean, you know how it is. People try to buy your stars for some later picks and some young, unproven guys, and then try to sell it like, oh, yeah, but I'm buying this old guy, and he's a rental, and he's only going to be with us for another year, Aaron Rodgers, that kind of shit. And people are just trying to buy low. And that's so easy to see through. I just don't fall for that anymore.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. It's definitely 'tis the season for bad trades. I know that. Ben, what do you have?
So one that sticks out, it's a league I'm in, a rebuild. So it's a dynasty trade, rebuild trade. I'll give you one of the redraft ones after this. But this one was, so I'd be sending DK Metcalf, and I would be getting back Kareem Hunt, a 2023 second, and a 2024 second.
Oh, I know who sent you that.
You don't. It's not a, it's a home league, but it's a buddy of mine from high school.
Okay.
It's a very, yeah. But for me, the older running back does nothing for me in a rebuild. And
no.
A second this year and a second next year aren't worth close to what DK Metcalf, a young wide receiver, is going to be worth on an offense that is clicking. Like, I feel like if I'm trading him, I should get more, or at least a younger up and coming wide receiver. So I took out the 2023 and 2024 seconds and swapped in Jahan Dotson and a third, and it got rejected and sent back exactly the same as it was before. So I just said no and left it. Yeah, what do you think of that one?
No. I mean, I was high on Metcalf this offseason, knowing that Seattle was going to be bad. So Seattle's not bad.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. They're not great, but Metcalf's fine. You're definitely in a dynasty.
If you can do this with a low-volume, highly efficient Geno Smith, imagine what he can do with the guy that they draft next year.
Yeah, so I'm definitely holding Metcalf. So I would agree with your assessment of trying to get a younger talent, but I would have definitely kept one of the seconds and not a third. But obviously the third was too expensive, so he wasn't looking to trade that either, so.
Yeah. So then the other one is a 10 team, super flex, lots of positions. I think I'm 2 and 3, but like there's a lot of 3 and 2 teams somehow. He offered me Russell Wilson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he wanted back Aaron Rodgers and Brandon Cooks. And I think he was smelling like my desperation for a second running back, because I have CMC, Zeke, and Damian Pierce. And with Pierce on bye week, he was thinking maybe I don't want to start Zeke. I don't really know where he was coming with this offer, because I thought I lost at both positions.
So you get CEH and who?
And Russell Wilson.
And you're giving up
Aaron Rodgers and Brandon Cooks.
But you already have Pierce, right? Too, right?
Yeah.
I might like, do that. What other quarterback could you get?
That would leave me with Tannehill and Zach Wilson as my with Russell Wilson as my three quarterbacks.
Who else does he have that he could offer instead of Wilson?
Nobody.
Worse. He's just trying to sell
Carson Wentz.
He's just trying to sell Wilson. Wilson's unstartable right now.
Yeah, like I don't know. I feel like Rodgers is better than Wilson.
Yeah.
Is he?
And
I mean,
and I feel
numbers,
like
absolutely.
With McCaffrey, Zeke, Gibson, Damian Pierce, and Jamal Williams, I'm more than set at running back and don't really need Clyde. Where having wide receivers is, I don't know, I find I like to have a lot of wide receivers in redraft.
No, I usually do too, and I would definitely rather have Rodgers. My question was rhetorical because he's putting numbers up, but he's looked bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Clyde's
kind of
in the
perfect
end zone,
so high at this point. He's had a couple of big games. He's doing this year what we kind of hoped he would do last year.
He's flexible, which is okay.
Yeah. I mean, Zeke has been getting 50, 60 yards every game. He's just not getting the touchdowns. And he's not really explosive. But, I mean, he ran against Tampa Bay. He ran against Cincinnati. They have a good run defense. Giants have a decent run defense. Washington has a decent run defense. And, I mean, the Rams last week. So what do you expect? He gets Philly this week, so that's going to be another very mediocre game. Then he's got Detroit and Chicago. That's decent. I mean, it's shitty that Pierce is out this week. Yeah, it's shitty that Pierce is out this week, because otherwise you'd be fine. Zeke doesn't look bad schedule-wise for the next 12 games. He's got New York, he's got the Giants one more time, and he's got two games against Philly. For the rest, all those games are pretty positive for a running back, so he would be a decent RB2.
He should be. Like Zeke needs volume, though. He needs 15 carries or more a game, and they're splitting the work almost 50-50 with Pollard. And he's not getting a touchdown.
So my question in that trade would be, do I downgrade at running back, or sorry, downgrade at quarterback, which I think is significant in Superflex, to get a running back that I'm going to start like twice? He's not going to make my flex with I have Chase, Waddle, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, damn.
Jerry Jeudy. Like he's not going to make my flex spot almost ever.
This is Dynasty?
No, it's just redraft.
I would trade Waddle.
I'm going to. I just traded for Tyreek Hill. So,
yeah, I would try and work a deal with him to get the running back, and find a way to move Waddle and keep Rodgers. I think
that's what I was kind of hoping to do.
Is more, I mean, as I don't like having, I wouldn't like having Cook and Pierce, but
I have them both, but I haven't really had to start Brandon Cooks yet, so it really hasn't mattered.
Right. So, but yeah, I would probably try to trade Waddle and grab another running back just for the depth, whether it's CEH or not.
You can see if you can aim for a guy like Jeff Wilson, who doesn't really have the name value, but he's been playing fucking solid.
Yeah, Wilson, or I would like to get my hands on Sanders with the team you have.
That's the other guy I was looking at.
Yeah.
Or maybe even Montgomery.
Yeah, with Monty back. I mean,
he's got a pretty brutal schedule.
You're only looking at starting for a couple of games, but you know, with sending Waddle over, you might be able to get you know, upgrade another piece or something like that too. But yeah, it depends on what the guy wants. I mean, you might be able to trade Waddle for Sanders straight up if the guy that's got Sanders needs a wide receiver.
I would definitely do that as the Sanders manager for sure.
Yeah, if I'm lacking wide receiver, I certainly would.
Yeah, that'd be a good trade both ways.
So, just a thought.
Cool.
So, I've got two as well. I got one Dynasty one and one redraft. So, the redraft one I got from a guy. I send him Tua. I get back Carson Wentz and Eno Benjamin.
Okay.
I'm three and two. So, I got this 2 weeks ago after Tua had the big game.
Oh, that's before Connor's injury.
Before the concussion.
Before Connor's injury.
Yeah, before the second concussion.
Right.
So, you were giving up Tua.
Yes, I would give up Tua. I would get Wentz and Eno.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, like, now after Connor's injury.
I have Tua on my IR. So, this is what's funny about the whole thing, right? So I decline that. So the guy drops Wentz, and I picked Wentz up on waivers this week. So I have Wentz anyways, and I still have Tua.
I love that.
So it just wasn't like with the injury. Sure, if it would have come after that, maybe. But I will never start Eno Benjamin. Like, I have plenty of running back depth on this team. I have decent wide receivers. So if he would have sent me a wide receiver or a tight end upgrade, I probably would have done it. But he tried to send me the one position I really don't need and a guy that I have such bias against that I would never even have him on my team to begin with. So, yeah, that one didn't work out. And then the other one I have is a dynasty trade. And I was – when he sent this, I was 2-2. I'm now 2-3. But the entire league is 2-3 or 3-2. So everybody's still in it. So I would get CeeDee Lamb, Zach Moss, Trey Sermon, a 23 second, 23 third. I would give up Aaron Jones, Brandon Ayuk, and Michael Pittman.
Wow. Oof.
That was, for me, that was an instant decline.
You started with Lamb. I'm like, first, okay, that's not maybe. Bad. But yeah, no.
The Lamb was fine. I was fine getting Lamb. Moss and Sermon, I have no interest in. But a second and a third, like you say, Ben, if they were first, or if it was like a first and a second, I would have thought about it at least, because
there's some good fillers to throw in Pittman, to balance out a trade, but it's definitely not a main piece.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So I didn't even counter that. It just was one of those, like, if I see a trade, because I have so many leagues, I don't spend a ton of time. If it's something that I'm not even close to interested in, I just decline it, move on.
Yeah,
that trade would basically be Lamb for Aaron Jones and Pittman. I think Ayuk is even forgettable in that trade, but yeah, that's terrible.
I figured the second would cover Jones.
You think?
If I've given up on the year.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because I'm looking at it from a rebuild standpoint. Sure. So if I'm giving up Jones for a second, and then I'm getting a third for Ayuk, and I'm getting Pittman and Lamb are kind of a wash. So I don't really think I'm getting enough value out of it, because, like you say, the other two guys are just throw-ins. Yeah. So if it was a first and a second, sure, I probably would have done it and just given up this year, even though I do have a pretty decent team and I do think I can compete there. But I probably would have just said, you know what? All right, I'll take the picks. I'll take the extra players. And I'll move on to next year. But yeah, I won this league last year too, so my team's not that bad.
Yeah, that's the worst. I have one of those rebuilds where I'm 2 years away from, I actually placed second twice in a row, and oof. I still have a pretty solid team, even though my receivers are kind of garbage. I started 0-5. I'm definitely more of a mid-level team in there. And I've been trying to sell, but nobody's buying.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, they've been sending me garbage offers. But
that's usually what it ends up being. You usually end up getting garbage offers. Yep. So I think that is going to wrap up the show for tonight. Luke, do you have any parting words for the listeners? Any way that they can get in touch with you if they wanted to talk football?
Sleepers is usually the easiest. It's Luke, L-U-U-K-G-X on Sleeper. On Twitter, it's Luke's Cocktails, L-U-U-K Cocktails. But I'm more of a lurker on Twitter. I don't really use it that much. Just come visit me in the Caribbean, man. That's probably the best you can do. It's a win-win.
That is the best you can do.
We've been talking about a destination draft in our Game of Throws League for a while now, so should make that happen.
I would like to do that. Hopefully this next season we can do
that. I'll cover the drinks for sure.
If not, definitely going to be trying to get down there sometime next summer. So appreciate you being on the show. I'm glad we could make it work.
Absolutely.
In between your late work schedule and mine and Ben's. So we're happy to have you on.
Yeah.
And good luck, as long as you're not playing me.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I mean, that's pretty much a weekly occurrence, I would assume so.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as many leagues as we're in, you can't find one that we're not playing each other. So, yeah. So, Ben, anything for the listeners tonight?
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Luke, thanks for joining us tonight. It's been a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying this season on the podcast and getting to hear some of the voices of the people I've been playing against for the last little while. It's been really enjoyable. You can find me on Twitter at DaydreamingFF, on Sleeper at Rockstar12. Thanks again for listening. It's been a really fun show, and good luck in week six.
Yeah, exactly. Appreciate everybody listening. And you can find me on Twitter at the FF Degenerate, in Sleeper at Solinator. You can send us a question for the show at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You can visit us on our website, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com, or on our Facebook page. Just search for Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. There is no international game this week, so everybody can sleep in on Sunday morning. Just make sure that you get your lineup set, and make sure that you, when you're putting waiver requests in, that you know which league you're in. Because if you overspend in leagues where your money carries over, you pretty much screw yourself for the next season. Like I did in one of the leagues that Luke and I are in. So I think I just set my rebuild back another year. But that's what happens when you're in a hurry. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, sorry we didn't get an episode out last week, but we have the one here for you tonight. Good luck, everybody, in week six, and good night.